This is Nightly Business Report with Tyler Matheson and Sue Herrera.
Earnings-driven rally. The S&P 500 hits a record, so does NASDAQ, as companies like Caterpillar and McDonald's power the game.
Debate begins in dramatic fashion. The Senate health care bill passes its first big hurdle, but get ready for some new challenges ahead.
And a new employee perk, a microchip implant. We're not kidding. One Wisconsin company is doing it. Is it a step toward the future or an invasion of privacy? Those stories and more tonight on Nightly Business Report for Tuesday, July 25th.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. It was another earnings-driven day on Wall Street. The S&P 500 powering to a fresh record, along with the NASDAQ. The Dow is closing in on one, and a number of very big companies reported upbeat results, something investors were hoping for, given the high overall valuations for stocks. And for the most part, investors pretty much got what they wanted. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 100 points to 21,613. The NASDAQ added one, but that was enough for a new high. And the S&P 500 was up seven, also a record.
Caterpillar, United Technologies, and 3M helped define today's market. They have a few things in common. They're all Dow components that reported earnings. They're all industrials, a key part of the economy, and they all sounded upbeat. But reaction was much different, with Caterpillar the best-performing Dow stock. United Tech fell, and 3M the worst among the Dows. Morgan Brennan explains why.
A busy day for the industrial giants, making everything from excavators to jet engines to Post-it notes. Caterpillar bulldozed expectations, thanks to strong demand for both construction machinery in China and gas industry equipment in North America. The maker of earth-moving machines is also forecasting sales growth after 4 years of declines. All positives that sent the stock soaring today, even as analysts question whether it will last.
History would say that Caterpillar delivers great incrementals for a couple of quarters when they get volume back. I mean, we shouldn't forget that they've spent $3.5 billion on restructuring, and they've 16% fewer workforce today versus at the peak of the cycle. So, you know, they can probably deliver another couple of quarters like they normally do.
The company's also still under federal investigation tied to taxes, which did not come up in the earnings call today. But a different story for two other Dow components. United Technologies tumbled despite its better-than-expected results because the manufacturer of elevators and HVAC systems will still likely see earnings slip this year as it struggles to produce the next-generation jet engines. And at 3M, sales from the maker of industrial coatings and Post-it notes missed estimates, sending those shares sliding despite a better forecast. Experts say for industrials, the results need to be Teflon strong to warrant the sky-high valuations. And until global economic growth picks up, that's not likely.
The story in industrials is one of moderate growth, one of perhaps a weakening dollar year to date, which has helped boost results a little bit. But I don't think we've seen too much in the way of excitement in the industrial sector. It's just it's more of an earnings growth and economic growth story that isn't terribly exciting, but also isn't bad either.
So far this season, industrial earnings have grown 5%, according to Thomson Reuters. Thanks to names like Honeywell, Lockheed Martin, Arconic, and even General Electric, which continues to come under pressure for its cash flow. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Morgan Brennan.
Shares of McDonald's are also helping to lift the market. The Dow component reported a 4% rise in sales in its flagship U.S. market. Its recipe for success? Premium hamburgers and cheap soda. Analysts say McDonald's turnaround strategy, which included overhauling its menu and modernizing its in-store operations, is taking hold. Shares of the world's largest fast food chain rose more than 4.5% to a record. And so far this year, the stock has gained about 30%. Trip Miller is managing partner at Gulane Capital, and he joins us now to talk about that. Trip, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me back on today.
The success of this report is being laid at the feet of Mr. Easterbrook and his turnaround plan, and that it is indeed being very successful. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with it. Steve's done a marvelous job turning around McDonald's in roughly an 18-month period, and we believe that the strategy that he was implementing in Europe prior to taking over the entire country, entire company, is serving investors well. So we think it's a great start and hopefully an early sign to more good things to come for the company and for McDonald's shareholders.
What are they changing about the food specifically?
Specifically, they're going to higher quality. I think that, you know, one of the things that you see out there is a demand for fresher, higher quality food across the price spectrum. And whether it be in a Happy Meal for my children or a higher end burger, they're delivering that. And so I think fresher, higher quality is in high demand today. And they're listening to the consumer out there and trying to fulfill that need.
You know, there was some question as to whether the remodeling of some of their stores was a necessary part of that kind of makeover for McDonald's. But Mr. Easterbrook argued that that's part of the overall experience and that consumers, especially millennials, want more of a food experience. Would you agree?
I would. I think millennials do want a different experience when they eat and dine. Obviously, a fresher, more technology-friendly McDonald's will attract more of a younger audience that for the last 5 years had tended to move away and go to other offerings that were out there. But I think one of the biggest things, too, that you see is with the smaller floor plans that you'll see in these newer stores that are fresher, it allows it to be lower CapEx for the franchisees, which I think is an attractive move for them to accept these changes more rapidly.
Let's talk about two things I never thought I would see at McDonald's. One is table service. How's that going to roll out, change the economic model? That's number one. And number two, delivery. How important is delivery going to be in 5 years?
Sure. Number one, on the table service side, they're serving about 2,500 stores currently right now. You'll see that rollout increase about 600 over the next year. So for us, a little bit too early to tell how big of a piece of their 36,000-plus stores globally that will be. But they're certainly testing it. And in the areas where they're finding success, I think you'll see that increase. The more important piece, as you touched on, is delivery. We believe, and we get this from McDonald's and other competitors, that delivery will be over 25% of the sales in the QSR space over the next 5+ years. So for them, that's a really big opportunity. They're an early adopter in this space. They're seeing great success both domestically and internationally, specifically in China, on the delivery side. So we think that that's going to serve them well.
On that note, Tripp, thank you. Tripp Miller with Goulain Capital Partners.
DuPont was the fifth Dow component to report profits today. The company topped analyst profit and revenue estimates, helped by higher sales in the agricultural business. DuPont, which is merging with Dow Chemical, expects that deal to be completed next month. The stock up today by more than 1%.
It was day one of the Federal Reserve's two-day policy meeting. It is widely believed that the central bank will not increase rates when it releases its statement tomorrow. In fact, a new CNBC poll shows that many economists and fund managers have actually pushed out the timetable for the next interest rate increase to December from September. The Fed hiked rates in both March and June of this year.
Consumer confidence is closing in on a 16-year high. The Conference Board says the rise is because of a strong job market, increasing home values, and a record stock market. Americans also appear upbeat about future economic conditions. Investors follow these surveys because a boost in optimism can translate into increased consumer spending, and that spending makes up about 70% of U.S. economic activity.
Meantime, in Washington, Senate Republicans voted to advance to debate their efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare. It's a procedural vote, but Vice President Mike Pence was needed to cast the tie-breaking vote. And in a very dramatic moment, Senator John McCain appeared on the floor to applause from both parties following his recent diagnosis with brain cancer. While his vote was critical for Republicans, he called for a bipartisan remake of the health care bill. John Harwood is following the story for us from Washington. And John, how did Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell win this vote?
It was quite impressive, Sue. He had faced resistance from staunch conservatives and also from the more moderate Republicans, and he managed to pull enough of them along. He only lost two votes, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, by letting them feel as if the process was going to be fluid once it went to the floor. They weren't endorsing any specific bill by doing this. He managed to do what he himself had said about a week ago he wasn't going to be able to do.
What exactly did he win, John?
Well, what he won, Tyler, was the opening of debate. That's distinct from moving any particular piece of legislation. So they could try to pass the House bill, they could try to pass a revised version of the Senate bill that they had earlier been considering, or they could fall back to the so-called skinny repeal, which just eliminates the individual mandate and some other regulations, and that would get them into a conference with the Senate. Who knows where that would go?
Right. You know, I said it was a dramatic moment, and indeed it was. When John McCain walked onto the floor, he got a standing ovation from both sides of the aisle. What role did he play in the ultimate outcome of today's vote?
Well, since they only got 50 Republicans with Mike Pence breaking the tie, they needed every one of those votes, including John McCain's. It provided an emotional boost for the Republican leadership to have him back. And John McCain, interestingly, had previously criticized the process. He voted to continue the process, but then he criticized it again in that floor speech, saying that he wanted a bipartisan way forward. Now, the question is whether that can happen. He still has the power to make it happen by withholding his vote, but he didn't withhold it today.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. John, thank you so much. John Harwood in Washington.
The health insurer Centene, one of the largest players on the public exchanges under the Affordable Care Act, reported better than expected profits. Profit for the insurer rose nearly 50% in the most recent quarter. Unlike its rivals, Centene is increasing its presence in the Obamacare exchanges. Centene plans to enter Kansas, Missouri, Nevada next year and expand in six other states where it currently sells individual policies.
Still ahead, the big questions hanging over GM as sales slow for the whole auto industry.
The former Dow component AT&T saw its profit come in better than expected. The number two U.S. wireless carrier was able to attract more customers with new promotions. The company earned 79 cents a share. That was 6 cents better than estimates. Revenue did fall from a year ago, though, to nearly $40 billion, but it also topped expectations. And investors liked the results, sending shares higher initially in after-hours trading. Julia Boorstin has more on AT&T's results.
The bottom line of AT&T's earnings, the company outperformed expectations with better performance across its phone and video businesses than projected, as AT&T maintained its full-year guidance. The big number in focus was 2.8 million. That's how many wireless subscribers AT&T added, far more than expected. And its new DirecTV Now skinny bundle is helping its video business, AT&T saying it helped compensate for traditional video subscriber losses. As for the future of AT&T, its pending acquisition of Time Warner, CEO Randall Stephenson says the deal is on track to close by year end. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Julia Boorstin in Los Angeles.
Michael Kors goes shoe shopping and tries on a pair of Jimmy Choo. And that's where we begin tonight's Market Focus. In an attempt to diversify its products amid falling sales, Michael Kors said that it would buy the luxury accessories maker known for its stilettos for more than $1 billion. Michael Kors says the deal will allow the company to gain greater exposure to foreign markets and grow its men's footwear line. Shares of Michael Kors were essentially flat on the day at $34.93. An activist investor is pushing Barnes & Noble to sell itself. Hedge fund Sandel Asset Management said it acquired a, quote, meaningful stake in the bookstore chain and believes that Barnes & Noble could be an attractive buying opportunity for a media company searching for a retail presence. The firm said Barnes & Noble could likely attract bids of $12 a share in a deal that would take the company private. Shares surged almost 17% to $8.30. Eli Lilly posted a rise in earnings and revenue, prompting the drug maker to raise its outlook for the year. The CEO said much of the quarter's strength came from new medicines.
New products for us were a little over $1 billion in the quarter, 18% of the company now, products launched since 2014. So it's really a new product growth story that led to 8% top-line growth, held expenses flat, grew gross margins, and 34% reported growth on the bottom line.
But Eli Lilly shares were off 3% to $82.19. And the data storage company Seagate said inconsistent demand for its products caused sales to slip more than expected. And while earnings were higher, it wasn't enough to impress Wall Street. The company also said it's cutting 600 jobs and that its CEO is stepping down in October but will remain as executive chairman. Shares got crushed. They fell 16.5% to $33.20.
Domino's reported revenue and same-store sales that rose and topped expectations. The pizza chain also saw profit edge higher, beating estimates. But international same-store sales rose just under 3%. Analysts were looking for a 5% gain. And that sent shares down 10% to $192.40. The hospital operator HCA Healthcare said fewer patients and an increase in cost hurt results in the latest quarter. The company reported profit and revenue that missed estimates, and HCA also cut its full-year earnings guidance. Shares fell more than 4% to $82.18. Meantime, after the bell, Chipotle reported earnings that improved, with the company saying it saw a pickup in customer traffic and an increase in its average check size. But the burrito chain did miss street targets for same-store sales and revenue. Shares initially rose following the results, and they also ended the regular session up 2% to $348.62. And the drug maker Amgen said strong growth in its newer products and lower expenses helped the company report profit and revenue that topped forecasts. Amgen also raised its earnings outlook for 2017, but the midpoint of the range sits below some analysts' estimates. Shares were initially pressured in after-hours trading. They also ended the regular session down a fraction at $180.89.
General Motors posted its second most profitable quarter ever. Despite the strong profit, questions are hanging over that company as it wrestles with slowing sales for the entire auto industry. Phil LeBeau has our story.
Business has seldom been better for General Motors. In the second quarter, it made almost $2.5 billion, with strong earnings and profit margins in North America thanks to surging sales of highly profitable crossover utility vehicles and solid demand in China, especially for the Cadillac brand. So why are shares of General Motors still lagging the market overall? Mainly because auto sales in the U.S. have cooled off, and many doubt GM can drive strong profits in a slower market.
I think the problem here is that you're fighting the cycle. I think people have been extremely skeptical that they could deliver results. And even today, they had a very solid quarter and they continue to remain skeptical.
A big problem for GM is the fact people are buying fewer cars. Take the Chevy Impala. In 2017, sales have been cut almost in half. With fewer buyers looking for sedans, there are reports GM could kill certain models in order to convert assembly lines to build more crossovers and SUVs. But for now, GM is downplaying that possibility.
We are always going to be very, very focused on aligning supply and demand. And as we've seen the shift from passenger cars to crossovers, you know, we've taken very proactive action to reduce our production of passenger cars.
If General Motors restructures its U.S. assembly plants so they build more trucks and SUVs and fewer cars, it would not be the first automaker to do so. Ford is in the midst of shifting some small car production to China, and Fiat Chrysler will soon stop building cars in the U.S. altogether. Phil LeBeau, Nightly Business Report, Chicago.
Coming up, getting under your skin. Would you let your employer implant a microchip in your hand? One company in Wisconsin is actually doing it.
Hundreds of Facebook cafeteria workers are unionizing. More than 500 food workers at the company's headquarters in Menlo Park, California, are pushing for higher wages and more affordable health benefits. The union says these workers are struggling to afford the rising cost of living in that area. And there's a story of one family who lives in a garage and others who commute from far distances. Contract workers like janitors, shuttle bus drivers, and security guards from other major Silicon Valley firms have also moved to unionize.
Well, it is something, it seems, out of a science fiction movie, or for those of you like me who would remember it, The Twilight Zone. Employees of a vending machine company in Wisconsin are being offered microchip implants that let them access the building, log into their computers, even pay for things.
So what do you think about being microchipped by your employer? We asked, and many of you were skeptical.
If you can microchip somebody to go into a factory, you could also microchip them if they're at a political meeting.
I think if it's convenient, it's easier for people to keep track of stuff. I say go for it, but I also don't know the negative effects of it.
It's a surgical procedure, and why would you want to walk around with something underneath your skin? No, I don't think it's a good idea.
I've always used an ID card. I don't see what's so hard about that. Swipe, you're in.
Yeah, I would be totally opposed to that because you don't know when that starts, you just don't know where it ends, right?
If they're saying that they're not going to use it to track them and that's in writing and there's a contract that specifies that, then I don't see the harm.
We want to hear from you on this topic, so head to our website, NBR.com, and there's a quick poll that you can take there.
So what are the pros and cons of a business, your employer maybe, implanting microchips into you? Joseph Holt is an ethics professor in the Mendoza College of Business at the University of Notre Dame. He joins us now to discuss what are the ethical or bigger, broader questions here about microchipping an employee? Presumably it's voluntary. You don't have to do it.
Yeah, I think the emphasis is that presumably it's voluntary. One of the questions this raises for me, Tyler, is can this be like one of the United Way campaigns where donations are voluntary, but your boss is evaluated based on the level of participation he or she achieves so that there's pressure on you to do it even if you don't want to? So are these employees being pressured either by peers, you know, criticized for being Luddites, or are they being pressured by management to go ahead and do it?
Yeah. One of my questions is why is it necessary? I mean, we have smartphones.
Right.
There are so many other ways that we can achieve payment for something. I mean, the CEO of this company says it's in 20 countries already and it's working well. But do we really need it if we have the devices that we have now that seem to be working well?
Yeah, so I think that's a tremendously important ethical issue. I mean, if the company can achieve the same objectives of providing convenience for their employees without implanting an electronic device in their bodies, wouldn't that be a better way to go? I mean, I drove to the studio today using this fob from my Toyota, and that enabled me to open the car doors and start the engine without having to fumble for a key. Mm-hmm. But if the only way to get keyless entry was by implanting a chip in my hand, then I'd say, give me the old-fashioned key.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we use here an ID card that gets us into the building that we use to log on to printers or copy machines that we use at the cafeteria. I would think there might also be a medical liability issue here. What if something goes wrong? The injection site becomes infected. I don't know the medicine of this. I wouldn't want the doggone thing traveling around my body and ending up passing it like a kidney stone. I mean, it's just crazy, man. Ouch.
Yeah, and those are crucial unanswered questions. I mean, you know, is it ethical to move ahead with the wider spread use of the technology when the health effects of it are unknown? You know, just because it's the coolest, latest thing.
Yeah. I guess the other issue is what's being done with the information that's linked to this chip,
right?
Because you're buying things, so you know the information is out there.
Right. So, you know, is the information handed to somebody else? If I always get Twinkies from the snack machine, and I start seeing pop up, right? I start seeing pop up ads on my computer from Twinkies,
okay.
And I'm getting a little. Am I getting a little nervous? You know, there are some companies that charge a premium for health insurance,
yeah,
for obese employees,
alrighty,
give a discount for the fit ones. What
right.
if CNBC implanted
we
the chips?
We have
found
to
out
that
it.
Thank
have
you.
To leave it there, Joe. The chips okay. are down, and we're down on the chips. Joe Holt at the University of Notre Dame.
And that's it
good
for us.
Good to be with you.
Have a good night.